Hi, everybody. Welcome to this edition of It's Brewing at McEwen, a USF baseball podcast. I'm your host, Mark Giardino. And tonight I'm going to be doing a solo show. My co-host, John Kaplan, is out sick. So well wishes to him. Hopefully he gets better soon and we'll see him on the show next week. So tonight is March 6th, 2025. It's Thursday night. The weather in Tampa has been excellent lately, last couple days, or especially today. And I think the forecast for the weekend is pretty promising as well. It's been an interesting week thus far for USF baseball. Last night, the Bulls were supposed to play Florida Gulf Coast, and we ended up having that game postponed due to inclement weather. I thought that was a little bit interesting, just given that the forecast for the nighttime in Fort Myers seemed pretty reasonable. But I guess the more I thought about it from a logistical standpoint, it might be kind of challenging to get down there. And I know the weather around 4 or 5 p.m. wasn't that great in Fort Myers, and it may have been difficult to do warm-ups. Also, we don't really know how well the FGCU ball field drains. So even though it may have been clear at night, it may have just been a challenging situation overall. But regardless, that game is going to be made up. The Bulls were going to play Florida Gulf Coast at home on March 18th. And now I believe they're going on the road on March 19th. So what we're going to actually have during that stretch of time is you're going to play the Maryland series at home, three games against Maryland. You have Monday off, and then you're going to play two games against Florida Gulf Coast, one home, one away. You have Thursday off, and then you have a three-game series to open conference play at UAB. So the Bulls are going to play 8 games in 10 days during that time period. It's going to be a grind, you know. It's going to be like professional baseball, and I think that it'll be a really good test for the team. You know, a lot of these guys, they do want to be professional baseball players one day, and you know, that's pretty much the lifestyle. So you're practically playing every single day. The one thing that does come to mind is just thinking about how pitching would line up in a situation like that. Obviously, it would have been great to play yesterday's game because Bryce Archie could have gotten a start, and then he could have started the other game against Florida Gulf Coast. But now that's not going to be possible. He's only going to be able to start one of the two games against Florida Gulf Coast, and you really don't know who the fifth starter of this team is. I don't think we've ever had a situation yet where we've had to use, you know, five starters in the span of 6 days. So that'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. It may end up just being a bullpen day. Somebody may get the opportunity to make their first start of their season or their career. Who knows? So it'll be interesting to monitor what happens with that. But just given the fact that you're going to be playing 8 games in the span of 10 days, especially heading into the conference opener on the road at UAB, who is actually having a very good season. That's a really solid AAC team right now. So to open the conference against them on the road, it's going to be very challenging. So it's really going to be important how pitching is managed leading up to that, you know, against Maryland, against Florida Gulf Coast, as they head into that, you know, opening AAC series against UAB. It's going to be very interesting. I think what's going to need to happen is you have to get all hands on deck. I mean, even guys on this team who haven't gotten a ton of innings yet are likely going to be called upon to eat innings. We're going to need contributions from top to bottom. You may even see some season debuts of guys who haven't pitched yet. That's always possible. So that's going to be a really interesting period of time. But before all of that, we do have a three-game series with Villanova, which is happening this weekend. So the Bulls are 6-5, and Villanova is 6-5 as well. Villanova is from the Big East, which actually is a conference that USF used to be in about 10 years ago or so, and the USF actually has a history of playing against Villanova when they were conference opponents. USF's all-time record against Villanova is 13-8. It's interesting to see that there's a little history there. But the current Villanova team is having a pretty good season. They started their season in the Puerto Rico Challenge, where they played against three other teams, and they went 1-2 that weekend. But after that, they have won both of their weekend series. One of them was on the road at Winthrop, and the other was on the road at Lipscomb. So like a typical Northeastern baseball team, early in the season, they went a little bit south to play a couple of road series, and they won both. So credit to them. They seem to be having a pretty solid season. I think one interesting thing I learned about Villanova baseball when I was preparing for this was they have a lot of history in terms of how long that school has been playing baseball. Apparently, according to Villanova's website, their first season of baseball was in 1866. I really couldn't believe that, but it's true. They played baseball literally the spring after the Civil War ended. Like, that is just crazy to think about. But that is how long Villanova has been playing baseball. But they currently have a ninth year head coach. His name is Kevin Mulvey. He's done a pretty good job with the team, keeping them pretty competitive in the Big East over the past decade or so. Obviously, it's challenging being a Northeastern school like that. They have not made it to an NCAA regional since 1991. And another interesting thing that I saw on D1Baseball.com is that they have not even played in their own conference tournament since about 20 years or so, because I think the Big East tournament is generally pretty small, like maybe 4 to 6 teams, and you have to finish in the upper half of the conference to do that, and they have not. So that is kind of an interesting stat there. But again, like I said, this season they are having a good season. They, as a team, they're hitting 256 with a 796 OPS, which is not too bad. Their team ERA is 7.58, which, when you just look at that number, that is obviously not a good team ERA, 7.58, but it's a little bit misleading. And the reason I say that is because they are a bit top heavy as a team. Just because the team average is 7.58 doesn't mean they don't have some very, very good pitchers. They actually do. I will talk about them in a little bit. Their team fielding percentage is 972, which is pretty solid. So they can field, they can hit, and they have a few guys that can really pitch. So that's kind of the high level overview of that team. Just a few things to look out for when they come into town tomorrow night. They have a few really good hitters. I mean, I would say their best hitter is actually their catcher, which is pretty rare to see. But we have a great hitter on our team, Lance Triple, as a catcher, but not a lot of teams have catchers that can hit. A lot of times you just see teams that are content with a guy that can play defense behind the plate. But their catcher, Jason Neff, is 6'3", 200 pounds. He has 5 home runs, like our own Sebastian Greco. And Neff has 17 RBIs, which is a lot at this point in the season, only 11 games in. He has a lot of experience. He's actually 24 years old. He has been around. He played at Richmond before he went to Villanova. He has 30 career Division I home runs, 561 career at bats in Division I. And he's having a really good season for them this year as well. Like I mentioned, 5 home runs, 17 RBIs. He's definitely the bat to watch for. Primarily, he bats third for them. Two other names to mention on the offensive side for them: their leadoff hitter, Austin Lemon, is having a really good season as well. He's a transfer from Oklahoma State. He bats leadoff. He plays left field, and he's also a switch hitter, the only switch hitter on their team. So really leadoff hitter, number three hole hitter, really solid. And then a little deeper down the lineup, you'll have an interesting player as well, Braden Leonard, the second baseman. He's a true freshman, came up to Villanova from Georgia, from where he went to high school. He already has three home runs and an 801 OPS, which is really solid for a freshman. So those are kind of the three names that I would watch out for on offense. We'll get a little deeper into their pitchers. So the expected starting pitchers from their team this weekend, all of them are right-handed pitchers, which actually really lines up well as a matchup for our offense, given the fact that we have a lot of quality left-handed bats. That should play well into our hands. But the key is really going to be getting to these starting pitchers because they do not have a lot of depth behind those guys. But I will talk a little bit about each of these starting pitchers, especially the Friday and Saturday guys. Are I will honestly say they are very good. I would happily have them play on USF. They're very solid players. You look at their Friday night pitcher, Bobby Olsen. He is a sixth-year senior, so he has, and the reason he's able to still be in college baseball as a sixth-year senior is because he started his career at Ivy League school, Brown University, back in the COVID era, and he got an extra year of eligibility from 2020. But if you recall, in 2021, Ivy League did not even play baseball at all. So he got a year of eligibility for that. And then in 2022, when Ivy League started playing baseball again, ironically enough, USF actually played against Brown that season. Bobby Olsen was on the team, and Bobby Olsen made two appearances against the Bulls in 2022 at Red McEwen Field. Both were out of the bullpen, but both were very effective. Between his two outings, he went 5 2/3 innings against the Bulls, only gave up one run. So he actually has had success against USF at Red McEwen Field. Granted, it was 3 years ago for a different team, but that is actually pretty interesting. He is, again, their Friday night starter. He's a right-handed pitcher. He's thrown 17 innings this season with 23 strikeouts to only six walks, and he's holding opponents to a .215 batting average. So how is he able to do that? How is he able to be as effective as he has been? Well, D1 baseball writer Aaron Fitt was at the Puerto Rico Challenge opening weekend, and he was tweeting some pretty complimentary tweets about Bobby Olsen and what he saw out of him that day in Puerto Rico. Apparently, he was sitting with his fastball between 92 to 94 miles per hour. He was showing what Aaron Fitt described as a very good cutter, sitting between 87 to 88 miles per hour, and also a slider at 82 miles per hour. So, Bobby Olsen, Friday night starting pitcher for Villanova, is a really solid player. And then we'll kick it to Saturday, where they show another really quality arm in Luke McCullough. He's a right-handed pitcher, a fifth-year senior, who pitched previously at Utah Valley State and I think one other school. But he is also very similarly to Bobby Olsen, sits in that range of about 90 to 94 miles per hour with his fastball. It's a two seam. He also has an effective slider in the low 80s, a curveball with a different shape to it in the mid 70s, and he's got a changeup that sits around 82 to 85. He is 6'3", 210, taller frame, bigger guy. On Saturday, we're going to be seeing him. Again, he's also another quality arm. I think he has the lowest ERA on their team. I forgot the exact number, but I want to say it's under two or three. So he's been really effective earlier in the year against number two ranked University of Virginia in that Puerto Rico challenge. He threw five innings and only gave up one run and seven strikeouts. So he knows how to face off against quality lineups and get results. Their last starting pitcher, Jake Francis, also a right-handed pitcher. I don't have too much on him, but he's definitely not somebody to overlook as he also has a good ERA under four. If you look at his career statistically, he's really a pitch-to-contact guy. He's not going to strike people out, but he does get outs from his track record. Again, he has a solid ERA. And, looking at all three of those starting pitchers, they're all pretty good. They're all right-handed pitchers. But where I see the opportunity for USF this weekend is really if they can get one or two of these starters off their rhythm, maybe get one or two of them out of the game earlier than they wanted to. Obviously, each of these guys would love to pitch five, six, seven innings. But if USF can disrupt that, if they can get one of these guys out in the third or fourth inning just by getting a lot of hits or working deep counts, I think that would be huge for our chances to have a successful weekend, given the fact that there are not a lot of effective arms in their bullpen, hence the team ERA of 7.58. When you have a team ERA that high and you have pitchers as good as the three starting pitchers I just mentioned, that kind of tells you what lies in the bullpen, which has not been too good for Villanova this season. So the key really is to work these starters, get Villanova into their bullpen as soon as possible, and really try to take advantage of those matchups when they present themselves. So I really am interested to see how the Bulls will respond this weekend, given the fact that we're coming off of those two run rule losses to UCF. And, did not get an opportunity to get that bad taste out of our mouth against Florida Gulf Coast like we would have liked. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Bulls come out this Friday. So, as my last segment here, I'll just kind of talk a little bit about what I'm looking for from the Bulls this weekend. And I'll just look at it from three different perspectives. I'll look at it from a starting pitching perspective, a bullpen perspective, and just from our position player group, our offense, defense, etc. So when you think about our starting pitching, obviously we know Corey Brown is going to go out there on Friday night. I'm very excited about that. He has been awesome this season. Great starts all around. He'll be out there Friday night facing off against Bobby Olsen, the sixth year senior who has pitched at Red McEwen before. That's going to be a great matchup. And then, when you look at Saturday and Sunday, we just don't quite know what to expect yet in terms of who is going to be out there. And I say that because the USF website, as of 7:03 p.m. here on Thursday night, I do not think has put out a press release yet regarding the upcoming series for the weekend. Yeah, I just checked again and there's not. I have not seen a tweet or anything about what the rotation is going to be. Granted, of course, if you look at last week's starting rotation, on Saturday we had James Hill. On Sunday we had Jack Nedrow. And but it's been the rotation, our rotation has been changed a few times already this season. James Hill is coming off of what was obviously a rough outing. And it's just going to be interesting to see, does he get put back in that same role this Saturday? Does Jack Nedrow get the start again on Sunday? Does Jack Nedrow potentially get moved up to Saturday? Granted, because he does have a lot of starting pitching experience from his previous stop at Division II Lee University, where he was an All-American starting pitcher there. So does he move up to Saturday? Does James Hill retain his starting role in the weekend rotation? And then do we see the return maybe potentially of Jorge DeCárdenas, who made two starts in the first 2 weekends for the Bulls, but was not in the rotation last weekend and hasn't pitched at all actually since his start against Georgia Southern, which neither of his starts went particularly how he would have liked. But I've spoken about this many times on the show. He's a very talented pitcher. He did a lot of good things over the summer in the Northwoods League. He's got some of the higher end velocity of any pitcher, especially longer duration pitcher on our staff. You wonder if he gets an opportunity to get back into the rotation as well. So I'm good with putting James Hill back out there again because I think he deserves another chance. If you think about all of our starts this season that our team has had, we played 11 games, and out of all the starts that have happened, if you look at what were the best starts, I would say out of the 11 games, Corey Braun, arguably top three because he's always gone five or more innings or close to five or more innings. And obviously Bryce Archie had two nice starts, but those were 3 innings. But really, I would say arguably maybe the best start we got, besides the three Corey Braun starts, may have been from James Hill because he actually went 4 2/3 innings, and that was at Georgia Southern, which is a really solid program, and he only gave up 2 runs. So I think that he can get back on track. I think if he gets a start, I think that he'll do much better. But if Jorge Decardenas gets a start, I think that he could have an opportunity to do well as also. Granted, this is assuming that Jack Nedrow has locked down a weekend starting role, and I think that he has. Again, this is just me speculating. I don't have any actual confirmation on that, but given his track record, given the fact that he did hold UCF to 4 runs. And almost got 5 innings. I know you usually wouldn't look at 4 runs and 5 innings as like an amazing start, but given the context of how UCF was hitting that weekend and given his track record, it's hard for me to see how he isn't one of the three starting pitchers this weekend. So that's what I'm looking to see is just what is the starting rotation going to be? How does that shake out? And one dark horse I would say that maybe he'll make a start. Maybe might be Nolan Bernard, the freshman from Tennessee. The reason I say that is because gradually his starts have gotten longer. I mean, his relief outings have gotten longer and longer. He's been pretty much very effective in all of them. I mean, the level of maturity that he shows coming into the game as a kid that could actually be playing high school baseball right now if he didn't graduate high school early. The way he comes into the game with the demeanor and the poise and the calm, to just get batters out. He just finds a way to get people out. And I really think that the coaches would like that. And I would not be surprised to see him, get a start this weekend at all. So I really think that there's four guys that could start these two games, and I don't know who that's going to be. We will see. We will see. Now I'll kind of talk about what I'm looking for out of the bullpen this weekend. So what I'm really looking for out of the bullpen this weekend is really just for the Bulls to bounce back. Like the bullpen over the weekend versus UCF, no other way to put it, we struggled. But the thing is, we have a lot of guys in this bullpen who were doing very well up until that point. So now it's a matter of, can they bounce back? Can they get back on track? And can they continue on having a good season like they were? And I believe that they will. One key guy I'm thinking about from that perspective is Aiden Longoria. He's been super impressive the first 2 weeks of the season. We've been touting, the progress that he's made from as a freshman. Obviously, changing his arm slot to three quarters or a little lower has created some interesting movement on his pitches and has made him an exciting watch, getting a lot of tail on his two seam. His slider's always been really good. I remember that seeing him in the fall as a freshman. So being able to get those two pitches working together, get that back on track for Aiden Longoria, somebody that could be huge for us the rest of the season in the back end of the bullpen, whether it be as a setup man or a closer or something in between. I'm really looking for him to get back on track, and I believe that he will. I think another thing I'm looking for too is we need our left-handed relief pitchers to really play to their potential. And as of this season, we've only had two left-handed relief pitchers appear in games so thus far, and that's Brandon Keister, the transfer from Indiana, and Caleb Punsack, the guy who's been on the roster since 2021 when the Bulls went to a super regional. Both of these guys, thus far in the season, have not had the best results to date. However, they both have track record to show they can definitely do better. Brandon Keister was a really solid piece of the Indiana Hoosiers bullpen last season, playing in the Big Ten in a Power Four conference. He's perfectly capable of having some good performances. Caleb Punsack, I've been watching him for years. He's also very capable once he gets confidence in his curveball and just his fastball location. I think that he can get back on track as well. And we really need that because at the end of the day, you want to be successful in college baseball. You need to have left-handed relief pitchers that are effective. And both of these guys have the ability to do that for the Bulls. And it would be really huge to see them get back on track this weekend as well. I'll mention a couple other names quickly that I'm interested to see. I would like to see a little bit more of Lex Sanchez, the right-handed pitcher, transfer from Hillsborough Community College. Friend of Andrew Perez, who's a good friend of the show, professional baseball bull who played at USF back in 2016-18. Lex Sanchez, yeah, I really want to see a little more of him, but we have not seen him since the Georgia Southern series. He's only had 1 2/3 of the inning this year, but he's shown a pretty live arm, and he's shown a bit of presence on the mound. I think that somebody that coming from JUCO who has experience in playing college could really help this team, and I think we'll see him this weekend. A couple other names, real quick. I was really happy to see Landon Yorick, the transfer from a college in, I think, Arizona or Texas. Forget the name of it, but JUCO transfer, have back to back two really good outings. One time he came in and got a crucial out and a win in a game against FIU, and then actually against UCF, he had a solid inning of relief work, giving up no runs. We really need him to be effective like that out of the bullpen as an experienced JUCO pitcher. Definitely need him to continue that. And the last name I'll mention from the bullpen, just for today, Matt Brown. We've seen him make several appearances. He was on USF last season, and last season he had some good moments and bad moments. This season, I've seen some progress in him. I really feel like he's very close to putting together like a fully, really solid outing. Just has not quite happened yet. He's just been one or two pitches away from really, having a really good outing. But he's definitely shown flashes. He's got a live arm. He comes out of the bullpen pretty easily, throwing between 91 and 93 miles per hour. Obviously, he's got bigger size, and he uses that. He's one of our more talented arms, and we really could use him to, eat up some innings, continue to improve his effectiveness. I'm looking forward to seeing if he can really have a good outing this weekend or two. Lastly, there's just a couple of things I'm looking for out of the offense. One thing is just how the DH role is going to shake out. We had Rafael Betancourt playing DH all of the season, pretty much. He has struggled a little bit out of the gate. I think he's going to be fine. Reason being that his track record at his first 2 years at USF is phenomenal. He's like a career 300 hitter. He's preseason all conference. He's a great kid, switch hitter. I'm very confident that he'll get back on track, but I do also think that we'll see a little bit more potentially of Stuart Puckett, whether it be he comes in defensively for somebody or continues to pinch hit or plays in some type of platoon situation with Rafi. I'm not sure how that will shake out, but he is almost too good of a bat to keep out of this batting order. And the reason I say that is if you look at, just look at what he did this past Sunday. He made his first start of the season and got two base hits right out of the gate against a tough UCF pitching staff. And if you look at what he did last year as a redshirt freshman, which is essentially his, it was his first year of college baseball, he batted over 300. He had over a 900 OPS. He was one of the best hitters on the bowls last season, and that was as a redshirt freshman. And you just look at his swing. I mean, he's a sweet swinging lefty. I don't know if he has a true home defensively. He may be a more of a utility that could play a little infield, different spots for the Bulls. But I do think we'll see a little more of him. And then the last thing I just want to see out of the offense is just, can we get back to doing what, we've shown the first couple of weeks, is really applying pressure to opposing defenses with these, with small ball, bunting for base hits, getting active on the base paths. Because if we do, that would really put stress on these starting pitchers, which is really the only, proven element of Villanova's pitching staff is their starters. If we put pressure on them with some, activities such as stolen bases, bunts, things of that nature, just stringing together good ABs. I'm really looking for like the top of the batting order, like Brad Keelory, Marcus Brodell, to continue doing what they've been doing, which has been to work some really deep counts and to really foul off pitches, keep at bats alive. I mean, you look at the patience that each of those two guys, Brad Keelory and Marcus Brodell, have. It's been paying dividends for the offense. By the time that the pitcher gets to Sebastian Greco and Carter Murphy, they're pretty worn out, and you're seeing Sebastian Greco and Murphy capitalize on that. That one game where Lori had four walks and in the leadoff spot, I mean, that was incredible. Marcus Burdell, you always see him keeping at bats alive as well. I mean, to have those two guys in the one hole and the two hole is awesome. Lori, actually, the first weekend of the season against Iowa, didn't get too many hits, or I don't even know if he did, but since opening weekend, he's batting a little over 300, and during that span, which has gotten his season average up to around 250. But I would definitely expect that to continue to trend up. And Marcus Brodell, at the top of the batting order, has continued to do what he did last season: 900 plus OPS, batting average near 300. It's exactly what you want to see from a senior who's been with the program and who just continues to get better and better. Yeah, offensively, let those two guys at the top continue to do what they're doing. Sebastian Greco and Carter Murphy have been really solid at the three and four hole. And then, looking at the rest of the batting order, we've gotten solid games from Matt Rose here and there, who plays second base. We've seen Jackson Mayo get some clutch hits over the past couple of weeks. I'd still like to see even more out of him. I think he has the potential to put up even bigger numbers than he already has. I would love to see Lance Triple continue to get big hits. I know last week he had a double, which was nice. He has a lot. He has a really nice swing. He has a lot of power. Just want to see all that come together for him, and maybe just have a really solid weekend here, stringing together a bunch of hits. But yeah, I think, offensively, it could be a good opportunity for our guys to get back on track and to really have a solid weekend. And I'm hoping we can really pour it on offensively and really get the team morale up really high as we head into what's going to be a challenging period, kind of, because we will not have a midweek next week. And then, as I talked about earlier in the show, the 8 games in 10 days, you want to be going into that with a lot of momentum. And I think that having a big weekend here would definitely do that for this team. So with that, that's all I've got for tonight. I'm looking forward to these games. I'm going to be out there on Sunday. So if you see me, come by, say hello. But that's all I've got. Make sure that you follow the show on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to it. And please leave us a 5-star review on each platform. whether it be Apple or Spotify, you can go and review the show. If you give us positive reviews, assuming that you like the show, it helps us to grow the platform, helps us to reach a broader audience, and to really just get more people interested in USF baseball, to get more people following the team, to get more people out to the games. That's really the goal. That's why we do this. And we just want to support the team and the guys as much as we can. But with that, signing off, and I'll see you all later. Go Bulls.